Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Pie in the Sky Media. This series contains adult language and descriptions of graphic violence throughout. Listener discretion is advised.
3, 2, 1. Welcome back, Criminal Mischief Nation, to another bonus episode of your favorite podcast. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the hosts, along with Carolyn Osorio. We're lucky to have her again this week. Hello, Carolyn. Thank you for dropping by. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Brando?
Yeah, it's,
Brando.
It's very rainy again in Los Angeles. So I've just been kind of ensconced in my little office all day, getting some work done, and watching it rain. Then I had to drive around. My daughter had to get to a birthday party, and a bunch of lunatics out there on the. I still have some PTSD. When I was a teenager, I got in this terrible car accident in a rainstorm, and so I got a little squirrely when I'm out there, you know, in the rain. But everyone's safe and sound and warm and dry.
You know what? The reason why I remember that story is the OP shirt.
My brother's shirt. I still.
Your brother's shirt.
Gosh. Yeah.
Because that's exactly what I would do with my sister.
Yeah. And that was the only thing I was worried about. Not that I was bleeding out, not that my car was fucked, or that my mom's going to be mad or worried or can't pick up my girl at the airport, right? I'm like, my brother's going to be mad because I fucked up his shirt. And I didn't ask him if I could wear it.
Yeah. Believe me, I still have PTSD. You know what? I fucking deserved it because my sister was like a super hard worker. And I just wanted to hang with my friends and, you know, steal her clothes. So, you know, I was just like rotten. Ouch. But anyway.
Well, let's talk about this. Almost kind of ripped from the headlines. This is a very current story that you covered. And I appreciate your angle of it and how deep you went into it. And some of the... Gosh, the audio clips were just harrowing, but we'll get to it. So I just need to get out front with something. Very rarely do I have a complaint about your storytelling, but I have one. Who do I speak to about that? Can I speak to your producer, please?
Yes. Hi, I'm Carolyn's producer.
So the fact that her friend that she was staying with was named Caitlin, and...
I know.
Bad guy was also Caitlin. I would have appreciated a sentence saying, just so you don't get confused, I'm introducing another Caitlin at this point in the story. Okay? So make a little note of that.
Yeah, and that would have been the way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been the smart way to do it, because I didn't want to overshadow in the beginning and say, so, but you're right. I totally got lost in the Caitlins and like, you know, yes, absolutely.
It was weird because I had to go back. I had to go back and go, wait, it's the different Caitlin. Is this the same Caitlin? Like, what the hell's going on? Because that would have been really weird.
Actually, I did because I wanted to make sure you were paying attention, Brandon. So my plan worked.
I thought I was paying attention. You made me question my attention paying skills for a second, but it turned out that it worked out. But so let's get into this. So one thing that I found really intriguing about that I didn't know about Mo. Wait, I think I froze for a second. Sorry. What I didn't know about the Mo character was that she was, I think I knew she was from Vermont, but I didn't know what an accomplished skier she was. Like, I didn't know that she came from an Alpine family, that, you know, her dad was almost an Olympian and was a big instructor and all that, and that she had some injuries. Man, and if you have an unstable knee on the slopes, your skiing career is over, at least competitively, right? Like, you could maybe go do some cross country stuff, but you're not hitting moguls or downhill with an unstable knee. Equals no competitive skiing, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And then what was really, really interesting about her as an athlete was that she goes from one thing into a completely different discipline and is even better at that, right? Like late in life, and 20s is late in life to become the best at a sport, right? The only thing that the similar, there was an Olympic speed skater. I forget the guy's name, but he didn't put on a pair of ice skates till he was like almost 30. And then wound up setting like every world record because he used to rollerblade like along the beach in California, right? And he had the greatest athletic nickname ever. They called him the Exception. Okay.
I love that. Yeah, I love that.
And he set every world record. This was like maybe in Sochi. I forget which Winter Olympics it was, but fairly recently. And so for her to go from skiing and now long distance mountain biker is crazy because skiing is you're done in a couple of minutes, right? And to go like long distance on this. So I found that really interesting about her. And it speaks a lot to her natural, ability, but also her commitment to the sport that she was beating the boys, right? She was like,
I love that. I loved it. I was like swimming in it. I was like, yeah. I mean, that must have felt so good. And she earned it. I loved it. I mean, there's so many things that I loved about digging into her story and that, of course, and then watching her, some film on her and just having her dig in and watching her just overcome and, going up hills that are just, she makes it seem like it's like, she's just flat. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like that kind of power, that kind of, and she just seemed like she also had, she wasn't arrogant. She was just did the work. And I think that that's such an undervalued commodity in our world. And when I see that, I just love it so much. So yes, I was digging into it. And of course this idea that she would just get into it and in a couple of years dominate. And I think that there are exceptions to that. I think it was reminding me of a movie I saw with Adam Sandler where he was, I don't know if this was a documentary or it's not coming off the top of my head, but
Happy Gilmore, is it Happy Gilmore? Happy Gilmore, the golf movie? No, sorry.
Okay. I think you were in that one, weren't you?
I was not.
Right. Anyway, it was a basketball player that he went and recruited. He was like
I didn't see that movie, but yes, I remember it. Yeah. I don't know if that was true or not.
Yeah, but anyway, it doesn't matter. It's just that story of like, it's not even a Cinderella story, but it sort of is like.
It's a diamond in the rough story. It's like, you don't know that you have this kind of talent. Like, who knows, right? That could have been you. Maybe you have this mountain biking talent and you never know, but just because you never got on a mountain bike and said, let's see if I can go 150 miles over uneven terrain. Huh. Maybe it would be super easy for you, right? I mean, but that's kind of what happened to her. She just had this love of the outdoors. Skiing was stolen from her because of injury, right? And so she was, like, what else can I try to do, And, and here you go. But imagine that the resentment that would engender from people who had dedicated their lives to being great at it. And here comes this chick and she just fucking wastes everybody,
And I feel like that's part of it too, because she still has yet had so much grace because that comes with that. I mean, there's nothing to me more frightening than jealousy and envy, of other people toward a person.
Yeah, well, I want to get into that from the point of view of the guy, from the point of view of Colin. He's an interesting, not an altogether awesome dude. He's got a little bit of, we all have our issues, right? But like the sitcom version of this is Ross Geller on Friends yelling, "We were on a break." Right? Remember that?
When I wasn't a huge Friends.
I wasn't either, but that was just so in the zeitgeist, right? That he like kissed a girl when Jen Aniston said, "We're on a break," right? And then she took him to task for that and was really mad at him. And his lament of a refrain was, "We were on a break," right? So he's living.
I think it's a personality type that we're very familiar with. The guy that is good looking and kind of like funny and sarcastic, and he just gets away with things because, he really didn't mean to do that. And he's a really good guy.
And look, and and letter of the law, they were on a break. Technically, you could do whatever you want. Is it kind of dickish for the 1 week that you're broken up to have a 1 week relationship with another woman? Yeah.
Well, and the reason why they broke up arguably was because of this woman, because she's not, you know, whatever you want to say about Caitlin, she's not dumb.
Yeah.
You know, she saw this coming. Mm-hmm. And instead of saying, putting her energy and focus on the person who she should have, which was her partner, who was completely an asshole, she chose to put it on Mo, who she didn't even know. And really wasn't, you know, it's not Mo's fault per se, in terms of like, yeah, she knew that Caitlin was a part of the picture, but who knows what he was telling her.
Right.
You know, she really sort of focused her, and I'm not saying she should have killed him. I'm just saying she should have walked away. That's a red flag right there.
Right. Well, Mo, I think, listen, Mo didn't do anything wrong in this.
She absolutely not.
One text, she was like, yo, this is weird. I don't know what's going on. You got to be honest with me, because it was awkward and it kind of fucked up. That's a level of maturity. That's setting a boundary. That's looking for a boundary. Like everything she was doing was right. Right. Where she fucked up was that she was just a bad bitch on a bicycle. Okay. And Colin was like, that's someone that is really hot. Okay. And will make me better on my bike. Whereas Caitlin, she's just like, she's a participant. That was such a dig against Caitlin, right? Whereas
here's the thing. I've been thinking a lot about that.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. And this shows Caitlin's arrogance, I feel. Mm. Because when I first started dating my husband, he was a cyclist. Mm. And I was like, cool. But I would never think that I'm going to try to keep up with him. I mean, that ability, when you're at that kind of training,
yeah,
it's superhuman. It's not, and this was just like, he wasn't even a pro. I mean, I don't want to take away from how good my husband was, because he was great. But the fact is that I would never, I mean, I remember we went on this fucking hill. I can remember it to this day, and on my bike, and it was supposed to be a couples thing. And I'm like, are you kidding me? What are you doing?
Right.
My ball bearing started rolling out of my bike.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it's a different level.
I'm out of here. This is crazy. This is not fun. And so for her to think that she could even keep up.
But Mo could. But Mo could beat him.
I know. I'm setting aside Mo for a second and analyzing Caitlin and her dynamic with. And to think that then it became his job to fucking wait for her. That just drives me crazy. I wouldn't want my husband to wait for me, and I wouldn't want him to wait. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, this is his thing. This is Carolyn's thing. This is Paul's thing. And we're here to support. And if I want to participate, great. But it's like, I'm not going to be at the head of the pack.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be as arrogant to think that I would, or that he should have to wait for me. Like, this isn't like him holding the door open
Caitlin for a second and say, okay, here's a woman 10 years younger than me, a million times better on a bike than me. Seems like the perfect woman for the man that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. And here's another thing about that I was analyzing, and this is true about me, and I can't say for other people, but the guy that I have, any guys previous to my husband and the guy, my husband, obviously, like, what's makes me want to be in a relationship is that they're really into me. They're into my body. They're into my smarts and my wit and my talents. They're not looking at other women. You know, they're not telling me, oh, you know, you should go get a boob job, or, oh, you know, if you had this, you would be, you know, perfect. Or like, that's so for me, I would have just been like, you know what? As painful as it would be.
Sure. It's just not right.
This is not right. This is not making me feel right. Yeah. This is not making me feel good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm that's just my personality.
Yeah.
And I would go and eat it and like listen to Depeche Mode. And
in this competitive world, though, you're dealing with like uber competitive fucking lunatics. You know what it made me think of? Do you remember years ago that astronaut kind of love triangle? You remember that?
So which one?
There was, a female astronaut who was like stationed in Houston, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was having an affair with another, a male astronaut, okay, who was married and lived at, you know, in the Florida astronaut base, wherever that, I don't know, where Orlando,
fucking Cape Canaveral or whatever.
Who knows where it is. One in Texas, one in Florida, okay? And so he got called back to the Florida thing before, and she didn't know it. She was like on assignment somewhere. So she gets back to Houston. I think I have this correct. She gets back to Houston and she's like, yo, where's my guy? And they're like, oh, he got called back to Florida. And she's like, holy shit, I can't have him see his wife because then he's going to forget about me. So she's like, I'm driving nonstop from Houston to Florida. And the big thing in the news was that she wore astronaut diapers on the drive. So she didn't even have to stop to go to the bathroom.
Okay, I think I remember. Yeah. Yeah. I vaguely remember.
Whatever the mental toughness and the physical endurance it takes to become, to make it into the astronaut program. Okay. These people are willing to apply that to anything else that they want in their lives. And for this astronaut, it was this dude. So she's like, watch what I can endure to get some FaceTime so he doesn't forget about me. All right. And so for Caitlin, okay, like competitive cyclist, whatever, I love this guy, I need to get rid of the competition, is basically kind of where her mind went.
I think that she saw red, and that's all. Like, she needed to annihilate Mo.
Yep.
Mo could not exist.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because she was standing in the way of her and her man. Yeah. And so I like that the police work worked. Okay. Because from a cop point of view, Colin's the guy. Colin did. Oh. He's the dude. The car was in his driveway that we saw on the street. Like, okay, dude, you're, you know, lock you in the room and beat you with a rubber hose until you admit it. Okay. But then, okay.
Well, that wasn't going to happen because he was smart enough to bring an attorney with him.
Brought a lawyer. And he was actually like, oh, wow. Huh. That's kind of fucking weird. And why wouldn't he say, but that's not even my car. It's my girlfriend's car. I was on my motorcycle. And thankfully all of that kind of checked out. And then that, oh my gosh, the sound of the murder.
I know.
Whoa. The 6 second pause and then the shot into the heart.
The coup de grace. The coup de grace shot. I mean, she went there with a purpose and she was going to achieve it. She didn't come hell or high water. She didn't care what was going to happen. Like,
so was there a forensic kind of recreation? Like, was she already in the house when Mo got home, lying in wait, that kind of thing? Or
no, that's what was really significant about the locking system that the roommate had, where she came home at 8:37. That's when the door unlocked. And then when they saw that footage of the black SUV, it literally a minute later, you saw the brake lights in the alley.
So she knocked on the door and forced herself in at gunpoint or what?
I don't know how she got in there, but she wasn't in there before Mo got home.
Right.
So she basically probably didn't, you know, if the murder happened at 9:15, she got home at 8:37. So sometime between
half hour.
And then we know that Mo's made a phone call at 9:13. Her last call was to a podcaster at 9:13. So it was right after that. So, you know, she probably just, you know, came around and it was a really hot day, you know, really hot night, I guess. And so, you know, the door was open or Mo hadn't locked it, you know, because there was no indication that it had been locked. So she probably just walked right in. Yeah.
But did she like retreat into the bathroom as she was screaming? Because she was killed in the bathroom, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I mean, she probably backed into the bathroom.
Right.
Or maybe she was in the bathroom.
Yeah. Right. Oh my gosh.
So, you know, again, like this woman was just, and people would describe her as just being super sweet and super nice and like, you know, in that interview with Colin, he was just like, there's no way she could do this. You know, she's just super nice and sweet and never yells and all that stuff. So
I bought her a gun. I mean, why not? Texas.
All right. I mean, If you thought you weren't sure if you were going to be with someone for the long haul, right? You'd already had an off again, on again relationship. Why would you buy?
Why would you arm this person?
But not only that, but put it in your name. Like, I would never, ever do that. Ever.
First date stuff in Texas. Let's go buy guns.
I'm just saying, like, I just was like, I think that there was a lot. He went back to her. I think she was very comforting for him. So even though there was Mo and she was super talented and up and coming and all that, I think that there's that Caitlin represented a safety for him. They were very much involved with the business together. Yeah. She had access to all of his money and his financial stuff. I mean, he'd entrusted her with so much. And I think that there's that kind of relationship when you have someone who takes care of things for you, makes your life really easy. And, you know, you come home, it's like putting on slippers, yeah, you know? Sure. And so I think that there was a lot of that going on. And so he wanted to play both sides, you know, really is what it seems like to me. That's my opinion.
Wow. And so then, so bad Caitlin, then she goes on the lam. Like she had a plan. Do you think her sister knew and her sister gave her the passport, or she would never give up her sister, but.
I think that it could have been something like, you know, I keep all of my stuff in my shoebox up in my closet, but you can't have my passport. I'm right, winking.
Winking. Carolyn's winking for anyone. It's a sibling wink. Like, hey.
Right.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's, you know.
And then she lives the hippie dream, man. She goes to Costa Rica and she's doing fucking yoga, right? And like watching a little hotel, dude.
That sounds like such a nightmare. Oh my gosh. To me, awful. That sounds like
awful.
Nightmare. I love yoga, but like being enmeshed in that and like this is my life for the rest of my life.
And then I'm thinking like, man, those FBI agents or the marshals, they scored. Hawaiian shirts down there chilling, right? With all these expats down there, right? Like eating fish tacos and shit, right? Walking through in sandals.
I love how you have this like fantasy vision of yourself that's so not real. It's like you being the person that follows someone for the surreptitious sample. Like that is like there's no fucking way that's you.
I would be great at that. I would disappear. I disappear into the background. I would get. Man.
I think this is kind of like your karate fantasy of
it. Might be like the karate fantasy is legit. That is a legit fantasy.
I believe you.
Don't test me on that. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But so they find her.
They find her.
She was 40-something days on the run?
43 days on the land.
43 days on the run. So she should have gone to a non-extradition treaty country, but she goes to Costa Rica, whatever, for the yoga.
The yoga is amazing.
Because the yoga is great. And then, interesting, do you know, because I found it, that there is film of her trying to run the second time.
Of course. Yeah. You know what?
Hilarious.
She was like apparently training for it. Like she was like, and she had clothes on underneath her like DOC.
And she tried to scale a fence. She can't get over. I could get over a 6-foot fence. I'm 50 years old. I could get over a 6-foot fence if I'm running from the cops tonight.
You know,
I'd feel it tomorrow, but I'd get over that fucking fence.
I would love to watch that. Oh my gosh. And there's barbed wire over the top too.
You know how many fences I jumped as a kid in Jersey? Do you have any idea how many? It would all come back to me. Boom. I'm not talking karate fantasy. I'm like, I could get over that fence.
I'm surprised she didn't with how much she wanted to be free. I'm shocked she didn't make it. And did you see that Department of Corrections officer trying to catch? I mean, that would suck so bad. I was like feeling so bad for her because I'm like, you know what?
I know. So up until the very end, I was like, this is an interesting episode. This is an interesting kind of psychological examination of elite athletes. And does that factor into, you know, how aggressive Caitlin was in going after what she wants.
But hold on a second. I have to say, she was not an elite athlete. Caitlin didn't have the same.
But she was a competitive cyclist.
I think she was like.
And she would finish in the middle of the pack, near the bottom of the pack. You know, she was going to all of these events. She was there. Right. It was more marketing for her.
But to your point, there's a difference between that and elite. There's such a huge difference.
What I mean is, all right, competitive athlete is different than the weekend warriors that are out there doing it to like burn calories. Okay.
Yeah.
These are people who have sponsorships, maybe who have all of these events on their calendar for the year. It's like partly a social event. Everyone stays in the same hotels. Everyone knows the same athletes. Everyone, you know what I mean? It's like, it's a lifestyle.
And so that's what I'm saying. I think that Caitlin was more the weekend warrior type. Mm. I mean, she was massively in shape. It's not a question of like, she wasn't in shape. She was in great shape. Okay. Yeah. What I'm saying is that she wasn't an elite athlete. She was not the one that was getting sponsorships from Red Bull and, you know, Velo and all of that. Like she's, and I think that drove her crazy, especially when she saw him being interested in Mo and knowing that there was just no way that she could compete with that. Because Mo was, you know, described as a prodigy, you know? I mean, you can't compete with
the results don't lie. Wow. Yeah, what I was going to say is that I was really enjoying the episode until the impact statements. You always fuck me with the impact statements at the end, always. And then I get all sad and I listen to it. And gosh, it's like they had a ghostwriter on these. They were so well structured and impactful for an impact statement. You know, it was almost like therapy for them. Like really, I can imagine that must have been a little bit, hopefully somewhat cathartic or healing in a way, because they were very well, very specific and beautifully written and heartbreakingly sad. But
yeah.
It was a tough way to end that episode.
I mean, I think
it just shows,
I mean, I think that Caitlin really felt like she was in the way that she fought for her friend, with the chest compressions and doing everything that she possibly could.
Good Caitlin.
The way that she had fought for her friend, you know, chest compressions, all that stuff. I think that she wanted to hold it together for the impact statement and still fighting for her and still honoring her. And so I wasn't surprised at all. And of course the mother, you know, the way that she described the mother, I mean, it was just, here's the thing, like my husband's, you know, this has been
very powerful
episode. My husband's brother was, killed by a drunk driver when he was riding his bike when my husband and I first got together. And I didn't realize like how it would impact his life. You know, he stopped cycling, you know, because of it. And then watching his mom and what that does to, cause it's like being murdered. You know, he wasn't, you know, shot, but he was basically murdered with a car because the guy was massively drunk. And, you know, what it does.
That guy go to jail? Did the guy go to jail?
He went to jail, but back then it was like only 3 years. And I think that, and then he got out and then he ended up, you know, getting, you know, putting someone in a wheelchair. You know, he did it again and it was just messed up. But seeing that kind of impact with my husband's mom, you know, over the years and just, you know, I could totally relate to the mom, you know, and going and lying on the bathroom floor. It sounds so grim and like gruesome. Why would you do that? But it's like, I watched my, you know, then boyfriend's mom, you know, essentially she couldn't sell his car. You know, she just kept it. There's just things that you do that you just can't not do, you know? And, it was, you know, Yeah.
Wow. Yowza. All right. Well, listen, let's wrap this up. This was This was a cool episode. I like the different levels to it and the different kind of psychological kind of examinations that it afforded us. So great job. If you agree, head on over to Apple Podcasts and give us a rate and review. Share with your friends if you are so inclined. Please consider supporting the great, great companies that support our show. Without them, we couldn't do it. Carolyn, anything you'd like to add?
Yes, actually, I got this wonderful postcard from, can you see it? It's like a little Valentine's Day postcard. It's from Star. And I've often, gotten stuff from the people that I've worked with on shows. But I really want to thank, it makes me feel so grateful to be able to do what we do, because I know in the weekly episodes that we do, we don't really go into the depths that we do when we do our limited series. And we're working with Star on a limited series. I don't even know if she listens to Criminal Mischief, but she has given us, access to her to tell her story, to trust to tell her story. And then she writes me this wonderful, "Hi, Carolyn, I hope you and your family have a happy Valentine's Day, XXX Star." And it's just, I just feel so grateful for, I just wanted to share that. So anyway.
Well, thank you. Look, it's just a testament to, how you go about your work, and you get people to trust you and tell you their stories.
Don't do that. I just wanted to call out the people that trust us to tell their stories. I just really appreciate it. So,
yep.
Okay.
Excellent. Well done. Thank you very much, as always. And until next time, everyone, stay safe out there.
From Cloud 10, Criminal Mischief is a Pie in the Sky production, recorded in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. We're produced by Brandon Morgan and myself, music by Soundstripe. I'm Carolyn Osorio, your writer and host.
Hello, the world. Where They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I'm Courtney Eck.
And I'm Sadie Eck. And we are sisters that want to tell you about lesser known murders.
Our cases are always compelling, maybe even a little scary, with just enough banter to keep it interesting.
You can find us at theywillkill.com
or anywhere you listen to podcasts. See you there.
See ya.